You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with actor Joe Izzo. In DreamWorks' latest adventure, Abominable, Joe is the voice of Everest, the lovable Yeti that stumbles into the lives of Yi, a young girl who is grieving the loss of her father. As Yi and her friends attempt to return Everest to his family, they embark on an adventure that will challenge them physically, emotionally, and perhaps bring some healing and hope into their lives. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Joe about the similarities between Everest and Yi, the collaborative nature of animation, and what it means to find hope. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. It's nice to meet you, too. Thanks for chatting with me.
Of course. No, happy to do it.
Congratulations on the success of the film. It's just a wonderful piece. I love it. And you got nominated for a bunch of Annie Awards as well. That's really exciting.
I know, right? It's great. No, we're super proud of the picture, especially with, character design and everything about it. It's just so sweet and beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the character design, the use of color, I mean, it's just a stunning piece. But what is it attracted you to the script for Abominable? What is it that brought you in?
Well, you know, it's a funny story. I worked on the movie in a production role very, very early on. I want to say back in 2013, I was the production supervisor. So I was right alongside the director, and as we were getting the first version of the movie up, and some things changed over the years, and Jill took some leave and then came back, and I came back to help out with some voice work.
Oh, wow, so you were involved right behind the scenes then the whole time.
Yeah, I worked at DreamWorks, and like I said, I worked on the first version of it, in story, and editorial, and art, so I had super behind the scenes and close look at the very beginning stages of it. And I mean, honestly, when I first read the script, my producer let me read it, and I fell in love. The story was always that good from the beginning.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you're at DreamWorks. I mean, you've been involved in some pretty great projects, so what is it that excites you about animation? What keeps bringing you back?
It's a good question. I think it's you feel more involved in animation. The process takes a lot longer, but you get to see all of the phases, and literally the characters and the story come to life, not just through animation, but through in writing and voice work and all the different artists that bring it together. I think I did a little bit of work in live action, but nothing makes you feel more involved in building it than animation.
Oh, that's really interesting. So would you say it's more collaborative then, like the process of animation?
Absolutely.
In other films?
Oh, yeah, totally. It's really inspiring.
Oh, that's really cool. That's neat. So, I mean, since you've been involved in the process from the beginning here, like you said, you came in and do some voice work. How did you go about not only creating the voice for Everest, but sort of the look and feel for this particular character?
You know, what really helped with that one was I think it goes back to the design. Nico Marley drew him, and we had so many great storyboard artists that drew the character. And in a way that, like, for me, I just felt like, oh, this is how he has to sound. The way they made him act and move, some of the mannerisms and action, just made it easier. And Jill's just a great director, so just being at her side and just kind of playing around with, how playful he can be and how much of an animal he can be. It's just kind of a fun process that way.
Yeah, it comes across in the film. Like, you can tell that, especially in the character of Everest, like a lot of love and just joy is coming out in the creation process.
Right.
Something I thought was really interesting. I mean, this is the third animated film about Yeti in the last 2 years. I mean, they're all wildly different projects. But why is it that we're so fascinated about the Abominable Snowman even after all these years? Why do we keep going back?
Well, I think it's kind of with most animated movies, you just want that sense of wonder, a sense of something that you don't quite understand, something kind of really neat about the whole thing, that there's something else, and it's just, I think all those movies still try to do the same thing. They relate that he's a good person or a good character, it's like there's something else. He's not a monster,
Yeah, it's interesting because in this particular one, you're right, he's not a monster. He's a lovable creature in so many ways. And his relationship with Yi is just stunning, and the way it sort of the two come together.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they're similar in any ways in her journey and Everest's journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both understanding what home is. I think that's the big overlying theme of the movie. And home just means something a little different as they're going on their journey. But it's what they need, you know, how they find that through each other.
Hmm.
There's a sense of growing maturity that they kind of find through each other too, and a sense of, you know, especially in Everest, his ultimate sense of purity. You know, he's just good. He's like nature. Sometimes he can look a little scary, but ultimately he's good and necessary, and we don't necessarily understand him.
Hmm. The script about it is just wonderful. One of the key lines that really caught my attention was at one point they say, even though we can't see them, we still know they're there. But it seems to be so much bigger than just, you know, the abominable snowman. So I was wondering what that sort of idea means to you, especially since you helped bring the story to life.
I think it's just a sense of hope and wonder. I think there's something really... you know, something really powerful and needed about things that you don't understand, that you really need to be bigger than you, that have a sense of control, you know? It's power in its best form, you know?
The film seems to bring up the idea of the power of music and its role there.
Mm-hmm.
What brought that into the story? What was it that inspired that aspect?
You know, I don't know. That was something that Jill, the director, had. Very first draft of the script, and very early on, is something she held on to. I think music's just very important to her. I think the violin was always, like I said, from the first draft, that was something that we tried to bring to life. I think kind of along the same thing. It's you don't necessarily have to know how to play music or know what the song means or really understand the history behind certain things, but there's a sense of power behind it, and there's a sense of beauty and wonder, and something we can all be united on and for that.
You know, you mentioned a couple of times the idea of hope. So what do you think hope looks like for the characters in this film, for the kids and for Everest?
Huh. Now I'm trying to think. What does that mean for me? Just a sense of, like, the future, I guess. You know, I mean, like, especially as they're younger characters, something to look forward to, I think, as they saw themselves grow and mature, and they kind of saw the change in the villain, in a sense, at the end. Just knowing that they have impact, you know, to be part of that change.
Hmm. Honestly, Joe, it's a beautiful film. I watched it. I saw it with my wife and my kids in the theater, and we fell in love with it. So, again, congratulations on the film's success. I really appreciate the chance to chat with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you.